The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Big day for summer educational program preparation. They've got their morning workout. Parker, you're going to have to hustle over there as soon as we're done. So he's in his workout gear as we speak, and he's ready to roll as soon as it hits 8 o'clock. Mr. Hilliker, Joel Hilliker, is going to be leading the campus, the college students, in the morning routine that we're going to incorporate into this year's youth camp. So some exciting new changes. If you're out there listening as incoming campers, make sure that you're getting in your push-ups, your squats, all those things that will prepare you for the rigors of the summer educational program. A few comments from listeners. This comes from Missouri. It says, on yesterday's show, you drew our attention to the unabashed Marxists behind the Black Lives Matter movement. It should not surprise us that this type of thinking is out there. You've made the point many times that Herbert W. Armstrong saw these threatening forces on the move in his day. What is shocking, as you emphasized, is the willingness of the mainstream media and Democratic politicians to promote such toxic philosophy. They seem to think they can join forces with this radically anti-God, anti-law, anti-family movement and live to tell about it. That's right, the spirit of compromise. Let's just join forces with them and hopefully they'll love us. Hopefully they'll stop destroying things. That's the thinking. It says there was a particular video montage you played, I believe, when the rioters ravaged New York City. In one video, the criminals began vandalizing a store, I think it was actually an apartment, while the young man inside yelled, "But we're on your side! We're on your side!" It's a chilling little video, says this listener, and it should be a wake-up call for anyone who thinks they can cozy up to the Marxist mob and soon share the spoils. As you're showing us each day, the mob wants more than a Democrat for president. They want a revolution. They want a revolution. They want to topple the system. That's what they want. And why aren't more people awakening to this fact, to this reality? They're not even trying to conceal it. They're not even trying to hide their intentions. And yet many people, many conservatives, many Republicans, they just play along and pretend that it will all die out eventually and we can move forward. It says here that was, further on, finally, it says, thank you for keeping our focus on a brighter future and helping us watch the news. It says our Bible is alive and our prayers continue to take on greater importance. Keep sounding the alarm. Another listener from Ontario in Canada referred me to the quote in Mystery of the Ages, where Mr. Armstrong talks about the demons, the demonic activity in the world today. This is from Herbert Armstrong's book back in 1985. He wrote, all the evils and troubles in the world are caused by minds clashing with minds. But what's the real cause of clashing of minds? Is there any connection between contentious attitudes and the unseen spirit world? He says, people simply do not realize that there is an invisible spirit power injecting into their minds these hostile attitudes. They have no realization of the power and the influence of Satan the devil and his demon army. That's the spirit behind what we're seeing in the world today, the chaos, the destruction, the division. This last one here came in from Facebook. It says, I remember visiting that museum. It's talking about the Museum of Natural History in New York. It says, it's a very impressive museum. However, in the museum, there were videos playing about the discussion taking place about the statue and how unacceptable it is. Upon exiting the museum, I took pictures next to the statue. This is the Teddy Roosevelt statue. And wondered how long the statue would be left up. How sad. Next, they might want to remove Roosevelt as part of the history of the museum. It's just so sad. It is sad and tragic to see what they're doing to monuments and statues and museums all across the land. I had the same feeling last year when leaving Monticello, as I've told you before, listening to some of the tour guides going on and on about how Thomas Jefferson was a racist and a rapist even. How much longer? How much longer are those monuments going to be there? They're already used for propaganda. They're basically, the guides have been schooled in the 1619 Project. How much longer before the mob comes for Monticello and Mount Vernon? Well, this Theodore Roosevelt statue, right outside one of the most famous museums in the world, right across from Central Park, this iconic statue, this glorious statue. And now it's coming down because of the good mayor of New York City and his activist wife. This is what Mayor de Blasio said yesterday about this statue, about Theodore Roosevelt, clip one.
And I think Roosevelt himself is another one of these complex figures in American history. He did some extraordinarily progressive things that we feel to this day. And he did some things that I think are deeply troubling.
Okay, so he's the judge. He's the judge and jury, Bill de Blasio. He has final say. Here again, sad and tragic. This history, we were racking our brains this morning. It's been a number of years since Sam read The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt. Richard read it years ago. I read it, I think, 20 years ago. But Theodore Roosevelt, here he is. He's a native of New York City. He was the police commissioner back in his day. He ran for mayor of New York City. Of course, he was the president in the early 1900s. He did so much for the city of New York. This was a law and order president. If ever there was one, as I said yesterday, how would he handle the mob? How would he push back against the mob? Before being president, he was the governor of New York. The governor of New York State. And now he has to go. Richard said, from what he could remember in reading The Rise of Theodore Roosevelt, that what stood out to him is just the energy. The energy and the enthusiasm that Roosevelt brought to all of his work and his service in public office, just getting things done. Of course, I can remember from that book how much he really had. I think he had asthma as a kid, and he was kind of puny and weak. And his father said, look, you're going to have to build a body of strength. And he went and did that. And he took that approach to his mental workouts as well. He was writing books, I think, when he was in college. This was a brilliant man, a hard worker, a strong president. The statue's got to go, though, because Bill de Blasio says it needs to go. And here's Bill de Blasio saying that, well, you know, he is a complicated man. Even the museum itself said, we don't have anything against TR. It's just the way minorities are depicted in the scene. De Blasio, like his friends at the New York Times, he takes it a step further. Well, actually, Theodore Roosevelt, he is a controversial figure. Did a lot of things that are deeply troubling, says the mayor of New York City. So he agrees with the museum, and he's going to bring down the statue. We're going to have to keep a running tab, just like with the coronavirus deaths. How many statues? Every day. Let's keep a running track of the statues coming down. Some of the most famous names. George Washington, I think, in two places. Columbus, all over the place. He's coming down. They're going to have to change names, in fact. Columbus, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, Theodore Roosevelt, of course, William McKinley, Robert E. Lee, Francis Scott Key, the Texas Rangers, the Richmond, Virginia Police, a monument to the police there. It's got to come down. The Delaware law enforcement, the Oregonian pioneers, the Oregonian pioneer mothers. It's all about justice for George, right? We got to do justice for George. So pull down the statues of those pioneers. Last night, they went after the statue again, right across the street from the White House. A statue of Andrew Jackson, the sixth president of the United States. It was happening on live TV. I was watching it thinking, when are the authorities coming? And finally, they did. Finally, we have a scene of policemen, of law enforcement pushing back the mob, and they nearly got there too late. The ropes were already fastened. The mob was already tugging. Andrew Jackson saved at the last minute. Who knows if the president called it in or whoever, because the local police there in Washington, D.C., they haven't been real quick to respond to any requests for help to save America's history. The mob across the street from the White House pulling down a statue, or trying to. A statue right there in Lafayette Square. PJ Media says, statue removal has become a growth industry on the left. You may not have heard about a couple of them. It says, in Dallas, an unelected board decided on one day to remove a generic Texas Rangers statue from a local airport, and on the very next day, they removed it. No debate, no public comment, period, nothing. The little dictators removed it to who knows where. The media dutifully and uncritically reported it. This unelected board, they decided it must come down, and it came down the next day. No one had any say. It's not subjected to a vote. Nothing. It just disappears. So the mob mentality, you see, it works its way into these city officials, the leaders, like de Blasio and his wife. His activist wife has to come down. If they say so, it has to come down. If there's any pushback, if there's any dissent, then they immediately become a target, and the mob blots them out, or attempts to. Yesterday, there was a football game in the UK, soccer. I think it was Manchester City and Burnley. And, of course, as is now customary, before any Premier League soccer match, I'm not sure if they had the moment of silence for NHS, but they all take a knee. They've all got Black Lives Matter on the back of their jerseys. They're all part of the movement. They're all part of the cult. And right as the game's about to start, there's a prop plane flying over the stadium, and it's carrying a banner or dragging a banner that says, "White Lives Matter, Burnley." And this, I mean, you would have thought the Burnley Football Club was attacked by a terrorist organization. The response, the outrage, this triggered the whole team, both teams, coaches, everybody. This was how, I think, this is the captain of the Burnley team, his reaction to seeing that banner for just a moment, about a minute before the game. And the banner, keep in mind, it said, "White Lives Matter, Burnley." Here's how the captain responded, clip 20.
I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed to that a small number of our fans that have decided to put that around the stadium. Completely missed the point. Group of lads in there are embarrassed to see that, and it's not what we're about at all. Missed the point of the whole thing that we're trying to do. I think these people that need to come into the 21st century and educate themselves. And
so he's encouraging everyone else, I guess, to get educated. He's deeply offended by... Here are these sports stars, by the way. that have been worshipped like Greek gods almost, LeBron James, all of them, worshipped by white, black, brown, everybody. And now here they are taking a knee before the movement. They're all part of the cult. And if you dare say anything like Drew Brees, if you dare stand up for the flag of the United States, then prepare to be gang tackled by these individuals on this side of the Atlantic. The NBC commentators that showed this this football match, they had quite a bit of commentary in response to this little plane that flew over the Manchester City Stadium and carried that banner, White Lives Matter. You can't do it. It's offensive. It's racist. Here's how one of the NBC commentators reacted. Clip 19.
Everybody's come together throughout the world with recent events that we've all witnessed. There's been a huge worldwide reaction to that and a coming together with protests all over the world, it seems. And this won't stop the movement. This, as Kyle said, it shows you why there is a movement. We've seen so many incidents in England, Spain, in Italy, here in the United States. Something needs to change. Something needs to be done.
A lot is being done, if, in case you haven't noticed. Statues are being pulled down, vandalized, destroyed. Cities are burning. What about the Winston Churchill statue in downtown London? What kind of a reaction did these commentators have when they saw that vandalized? Well, that's appropriate. That's people speaking their voice. That's a free protest. You're free to protest in the United States and the UK, right? So you can destroy the flag. You can burn flags. You can tear down statues. You can fly the flag of ISIS. You can fly the flag of Antifa in Chaz. LGBTQ, you can fly that flag. You can fly any flag you want. But now it's the flag of the United States of America. That's coming under attack because, well, it's racist. And then don't dare say White Lives Matter. This was the statement that came from the Burnley Football Club. The club strongly condemns the actions of those responsible for the aircraft and offensive banner that flew over the stadium. This in no way represents what Burnley Football Club stands for, and we will work fully with the authorities to identify those responsible and issue lifetime bans. A lifetime ban. I think they're going to recover from this tragedy. I think the millionaires are still going to get their millions. In fact, if this is such a sensitive topic, why not ban all of fans? That's what they have to do right now anyway with coronavirus. There's no fans in the stadium. If you bring them all back, surely there's one football player that's going to be triggered by a statement made by some fan. If all it takes is White Lives Matter, if that's all that it takes, boy, what a risk it would be to fill up those stadiums with 20,000 people. A lifetime ban. Think about that. A lifetime ban from ever going to see your favorite football club again because of flying a banner for about a minute, 2 minutes, that says White Lives Matter. It says that this is the club statement. The club has a proud record of working with all genders, religions, and faiths through its award-winning community scheme and stands against racism of any kind. We're fully behind the Premier League's Black Lives Matter initiative and in line with all other Premier League games undertaken since Project Restart. Our players and football staff willingly took a knee at kickoff at Manchester City. It says, we apologize unreservedly to the Premier League, to Manchester City, and to all those helping to promote Black Lives Matter. This is the Burnley Football Club apologizing for that banner, apologizing to the Premier League, apologizing to Manchester City, apologizing to Black Lives Matter. Here's another comment from one of the commentators at NBC yesterday, clip 18.
disgusting and ignorant to choose to demonstrate an opinion like that. And I'm just trying to understand what would fuel that other than hate in a moment that you're trying to discredit or disrupt a very positive and important movement at a time we've never seen it so global and never seen so much unity and spirit behind it. There are some that either can't or just refuse to understand what Black Lives Matter is about.
Speaking of refusing to understand what Black Lives Matter is about, all three of those individuals, the player, the two commentators, they could use some education. They might want to read the Black Lives Matter mission statement. They might want to look at the BLM website. They might, like I covered yesterday, they might want to go back and look at what the three founders of the movement, three women, all proud Marxists. They're all proud communists. Here he says that banner flying above the stadium yesterday, it was disgusting, ignorant, hateful. Did he have that kind of a reaction when the statue of Winston Churchill was vandalized? Was that ignorant? Was that disgusting? Is it disgusting for the mob to burn down cities? Is it disgusting for the mob to chase away police officers? Is it disgusting when the mob beats up white people just because they're white? No, those are all, that's just an expression of free speech. Freedom of assembly, you see. But if you dare criticize BLM, you better look out. James Dellingpole at Breitbart, he said here, Britain's Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab has gone viral. A clip from an interview he gave to Julia Brewer on talk radio has had more than 6 million views in just 3 days. What can Rob possibly have said that is so interesting? Why would so many people want to see what this British foreign secretary had to say? Well, Dellingpole says simple. Rob said what every ordinary person thinks about Black Lives Matter, but which hardly anyone dares say in public. He said that this taking a knee thing, don't you just love that dismissive phrase? It feels like a symbol of subjugation and subordination rather than one of liberation and emancipation. And then it goes viral. You think there's some ordinary British citizens, Americans that are out there just furious at some of the things they're seeing? How many of these sports or how many of these leagues are losing fans? I guess we'll see when they finally reopen the stadiums. How many sports fans are just disgusted? Taking a knee. He says, feels like more of a symbol of subjugation. That's the British Foreign Secretary, Dominic Raab. Well, the mob went after him. They wouldn't stand for that. You can't say that. And so, predictably, Raab had to tweet out, to be clear, I have full respect for the Black Lives Matter movement and the issues driving them. If people wish to take a knee, that's their choice, and I respect it. It's their choice. I respect their choice to take a knee, but don't you dare wave a flag that says white lives matter. That's outrageous. That's not freedom of expression at all. That's racist. These are the rules. The left, the radical left, the communist left, they demand submission. Submission to their movement. And all the commentators and all the athletes just go right along. I can't think of one that stood up to the mob. Dellingpole says, let me stress again, most normal people think Black Lives Matter stinks. He uses another word. But it says here, and this isn't because these people are racist. It's because their instincts are right. Black Lives Matter is a really very sinister, unpleasant, race-baiting outfit which merely happens to have fooled a bunch of mostly educated, liberal, useful idiots into thinking it's a cause so noble as to justify the forcible dismantling of their history, culture, and economy. And yet here come these sports stars, these millionaire commentators, to say that the world, that we need to be educated. They have been duped. I gave you that quote yesterday from Herbert Armstrong back in 1969. Remember, he asked, why can't more people see what's really happening here? This is a communist movement. This is communist infiltration. It's because of our educational ignorance that so many just go along with the mob. Never mind what we're seeing on our TV screens. The mob right out in front of the White House? The White House! Just going at it. Trying to pull down the statue of Andrew Jackson, one of our presidents. Not a Confederate, one of our presidents. Dellingpole says, I've heard encouraging reports that certain police departments, not that I'm going to name them, of police being told by senior officers that if any of them take a knee, they'll face disciplinary action. And that also, if anyone tries to pull down statues in their area, then they are to go in with maximum force. This is what Dellingpole's heard. Quietly, privately, with some of the police forces in the UK. He says there are conversations like this going on across the Western world. Behind closed doors, most people have nothing but contempt for Black Lives Matter and the chaos and misery and destruction and division it's causing. But they dare not say this openly because where's the fire support from the establishment? It's almost non-existent. And the same goes for the mainstream media. The media is there to squash or to blot out any dissent. It's really even worse than that. The media is there. They're there calling for a revolution. They're there encouraging the mob. They're there justifying the violence, justifying even the bloodshed. This young man that was murdered in Chaz Chop, 19 years old. He was a young black man. Does his life matter? If it's really just about the slogan, well, what about Chicago? What about Minneapolis? What about New York City? People in the, as he brings out in his article, they are upset about the chaos and the misery. They have contempt for this movement, but they dare not speak out. Because, well, look at what's coming from the establishment. Look at how quickly Dominic Raab has to apologize. Look at how quickly Nigel Farage was fired. And then the media. Here's Al Sharpton. This was last week. He's the one that's been talking about wickedness in high places, using that phrase that's in Ephesians 6. Here's what he said, clip 3.
You have two options. You either can convert and spiritually try and turn around those that engage in a spirit of wickedness, or you can minister to those who are the victims, who are the far more majority, and organize them that you fight the institutions of wickedness so that the wicked can't operate in power.
Two options. You can either convert them over to your side, or you can organize. Organize your side and fight. An organized rebellion. That's what he's calling for. I played this clip for you yesterday from former Secretary of State John Kerry, where he said, hey, this is the stuff of revolutions. If we don't get our way, if democracy begins to break down, if it doesn't work, well, then we could have a revolution on our hands. I can skip the one from yesterday, but here's what the former Obama Secretary of State Kerry had to say about the protests and the rioting. This is clip five.
What encourages me is this incredible spontaneous reaction to the killing of George Floyd by those police officers has unleashed a torrent of awareness that people see this unfairness now, and it's, I think, becoming a voting issue.
The spontaneous reaction, he says. This is heartening. This is encouraging. The protests that have taken to the streets. He says, John Kerry does. He went on to say that this is going to be a fascinating year. It reminds him a lot of 1968, when they were rioting in the streets as well. And the silent majority, remember, brought in Richard Nixon, because he was for law and order. He just loved America. And Americans, I don't know the history as well from 1968, but how many of them were silent because they were afraid to speak out for fear of the mob? You certainly see it today. This is what Susan Rice, she's another official that worked for the Obama administration. This is what she said last week about the Donald Trump supporters that are out there. Clip six.
This election and whoever Joe Biden chooses among many very talented candidates is about getting Joe Biden in the White House, somebody who can heal and unify the nation and remove Donald Trump and consign him and those who supported him in the Senate to the trash heap of history.
The trash heap of history. There were quite a few individuals or comments online referring to the Russian Bolshevik Leon Trotsky, who, when referring to his political opponents, he said, go where you belong from now on, into the dustbin of history. Here are the Marxists of today using some of the same language. The trash heap of history. Let's just burn them all down. Throw them all away. Get rid of them all. And where are the Republicans to speak up? Where are the Republicans who will stand up to the mob? This is from Tucker Carlson's program, I think last Thursday. He's talking here about the Democrats. They're certainly moving forward with their agenda against little resistance. This is clip seven.
But Democrats know better than that. They don't lie to themselves. They understand there is a revolution in progress. The death of George Floyd may have sparked widespread outrage, sincere outrage, and they may share that outrage. But they also know that what is happening now has very little to do with George Floyd or people like him. Like all revolutions, the point is to destroy the current system and replace it with something new. At the moment, the people leading this revolution against our system are strong. That's why they're trying to subvert our laws. If they succeed, there will be nothing to protect the rest of us in this country. We cannot let them do that.
That's a Fox News commentator saying that the revolution's in progress, and the sooner Republicans wake up to that fact, the better. It's already in progress, and this movement is strong, and it's gaining strength. Look at the way the commentators react to a banner that flies over a stadium. Look at how quickly they rise up to blot out any dissent. It really is like a cult, but it's destroying our nations. There was a clip yesterday. Richard found this. This is from a Venezuelan. I think she lives in the United States now, but she was a teenager. She was a teenager when Venezuela just imploded. And she's reminding us, some of us, of the history of her own nation. This is clip two.
why do I even worry about some silly little statues coming down or some silly little street names changing? Why do I care? It's because the last time I didn't care about this, I was a teenager. I have already lived through this thing when I was living in Venezuela. Statues came down. Chavez didn't want that history displayed. And then he changed the street names. Then came the curriculum. Then some movies couldn't be shown on certain TV channels. And so on and so forth. You guys think it can happen to you? I've heard this so many times. But always be on guard. Never believe something can't happen to you. You need to guard your country and your society or it will be destroyed.
Guard your country and society or it will be destroyed. That's what we see happening today. A lot of destruction. It's like the one listener said I quoted from at the beginning. The goal here, it's not to just get a Democrat in office. The goal here is to bring down the system. And it's not like this hasn't happened before. Venezuela is one of the more recent examples. But this has happened time and again over the past century. Time and time again. And yet here are people cheering it on. Denouncing those who would speak out. My father on the program this past weekend. How Lincoln saved the Union, I think it was. It was his Key of David program from over the weekend. But he talked in that show about the prophecy in Ezekiel 13, the stormy wind prophecy. And he said that it's like we're on the outer edges of a hurricane. That's what we're seeing. It's going to get much worse. That's the sad fact. That's what's prophesied. In Ezekiel 13, verse 1, it says, "And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear you the word of the Eternal. Thus says the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and see nothing. Woe unto the foolish prophets." They're just following their own spirit. They're not looking. They're not sounding the alarm. They don't see anything. Nothing to report on here. They don't have the courage to speak out. They don't have the courage to tell you the truth. Verse 9, it's just so easy, isn't it, to go along with the mob, to follow a multitude to do evil. Exodus 23. You can see the end of Romans 1, where Paul makes a similar point. It's easy to just get whipped up into the spirit of it. It's like that Mystery of the Ages quote brought out. What's behind this clashing of minds? What's behind this mob mentality? There's a spirit. There's a spirit world. That's what's behind it all. Verse 9, it says, this is Ezekiel 13, "And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the eternal God." This is when they finally come to know that God is their maker. This is only after so much suffering, so much destruction. Verse 10 says, because they have seduced my people, saying peace. And there was no peace. And one built up a wall, it says, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Here are the teachers seducing the people of God with a message of peace. Everything's fine. We saw this mass destruction on a mass scale in spiritual Israel. And now we're seeing it happen to our nations. Where are the Laodiceans? Where are the lukewarm Christians that were told about these prophecies for decades? More of them should be concerned about what's happening in the United States and Britain. More of them should be waking up to what's happening. More of them should be listening to this program and watching the Key of David. Visiting the Trumpet website. So many of God's people, though, have been seduced with this message of peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 11, it says, "Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower. And you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it." God's talking about a spiritual wall here. And they're using, of course, untempered mortar. It's not holding it together. That word untempered in the Hebrew, it means false, silly, or foolish. So it's just not going, it's not going to last. There's no permanency. All it takes is for a stormy wind to break it into pieces. Verse 12 says, "Lo, when the wall is fallen, and it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Therefore, thus says the Eternal God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in my anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it." Well, my father explains in the Ezekiel booklet how that this work, God's work in these last days, it's like a stormy wind. But more broadly, what we're looking at in our society, what we're looking at in our nations today, like my father said on the program this past weekend, it's just the outer edge of an oncoming hurricane. And it's time for us to wake up to what's happening to our nations, to wake up and to respond to God's warning message, to God's message of love. When we come back, we'll play a few more clips from the Tulsa rally that I didn't have time to get to on yesterday's show, the President's Rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Saturday night. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
The prophet Ezekiel also talked in his book about how courageous we have to be when proclaiming God's truth. The second chapter of Ezekiel brings this out. Ezekiel 2 and verse 6, it says, "And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with you, and you do dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." The next verse says, just get out there and speak my words. Just get out there and speak the truth and be courageous and bold in doing it. My father makes the point in Malachi's message that what good are the other spiritual virtues if we don't have courage? If we don't have the courage to do what God says to do, or to proclaim what God says to proclaim, then what good are the other virtues? I'll leave it to you to just look at Ezekiel 3. There's a passage there as well. God says, my father brings this out in his book, that he will make us tough Christians if we look to him and if we walk by faith. We just don't want to run away from our commission like Jonah did. It's easy to feel like you're all alone, that you're standing alone. But if you're standing with God, you are not alone. If you're standing with God's truth, you are not alone. God's people now more than ever need courage. They need this godly virtue of courage. Even in the physical sense, just looking at our nations, that's one trait that stands out about Donald Trump, is he does courageously stand up for what he believes. Even when it makes him a lot of enemies, he, like my father has said before, he has the courage to fight against what few other people are willing to fight against. Here he is coming into Oklahoma over the weekend, and there's some controversy, I suppose, over whether or not the sign up for that rally was sabotaged by these youths on TikTok or whatever. That's an app, by the way, produced by the communist Chinese. And here they were bragging on Sunday. As soon as they saw the rally only had about half as many people as they were anticipating, then out come all of these radical Marxists saying it's the teenagers get credit. They signed up for 70, 80 tickets and then didn't show up. And it discouraged the true supporters of the Trump campaign from turning out. And they're happy about it. They're giddy over this. Just think about if Trump supporters were let's supposing it's even true. We don't know that for sure. But to just go along with the narrative and switch it. What if Trump supporters were using an app produced by the Russians to try to dissuade supporters to going to a Joe Biden rally? There's plenty of Joe Biden supporters that don't care about going to his rallies anyway. But I guess that's a separate point. So he's there with 6,000-7,000 people when there was supposed to be 15,000 to 20,000. But you look at some of the numbers that came in yesterday. The viewing, Fox News set a record. Saturday night, I think it was its biggest Saturday night audience ever. Something like 7.7 million people. I think 5 million people watched the campaign or the rally online. So whether they didn't show up and fill in the upper deck because of the TikTok sabotage or coronavirus concerns, they had been bombarded, by the way, for a week. Don't go. You're going to spread the disease. Now the media, you see, they're concerned about coronavirus again now that there's a Trump rally. For whatever reason, the arena didn't fill up, but people sure tuned in on Fox and elsewhere to watch the rally and to hear what the president had to say. Here's a snippet from Saturday night, clip 8.
Said last night they had a little breakout again. They ripped down a statue that was 110 years old, beautiful piece of art, in front of the police precinct with our radical left mayor watching on television. We're not happy. That's going to be very expensive for D.C. They're always looking for money. We need more money. We always need more money. And then they don't do the proper job. So it's not going to be good for Mayor Bowser. Mayor Bowser. They were heading over to the Jefferson Memorial recently, and they wanted to do damage to our great, beautiful Jefferson Memorial. Not going to happen. Don't worry about it. We have it surrounded with very strong people. The choice in 220 is very simple. Do you want to bow before the left-wing mob, or do you want to stand up tall and proud as Americans?
That really is becoming the choice in this election cycle. I think I played that particular clip for you yesterday. But you see why there's such enthusiastic support, going back to what Dellingpole said in his piece at Breitbart. ordinary Americans, they're looking at Black Lives Matter and they are outraged. They're looking at what's happening in Lafayette Square last night and they are outraged. But they're afraid to speak out. But they certainly tune in to hear this man. This one man. This one bright spot, you could say. That's what my father said this past weekend. A lot of people are looking to President Trump because he gives them some hope that we can return at least to a state of normalcy. He gives them some hope. It's as we know, it's not going to be a lasting hope. But he does step forward with some courage. I think of that Victor Davis Hanson clip we played a couple weeks ago, that people are waiting for one person to step up and say no more. Well, there was the president on Saturday night saying, you know, this has to stop in D.C. We've got the Jefferson Memorial protected. And then thankfully, you see the police show up last night, almost too late, to save the Andrew Jackson statue. The president sent this tweet out today. I've authorized the federal government to arrest anyone who vandalizes or destroys any monument, statue, or other such federal property in the U.S. with up to 10 years in prison. 10 years in prison. This action is to be taken effective immediately. And he went on to say how it's also something that can be applied retroactively. Some of these thugs have been caught on tape destroying this left-wing mob, as the president described it on Saturday night. Here's clip 9.
The unhinged left-wing mob is trying to vandalize our history, desecrate our monuments, our beautiful monuments. Tear down our statues and punish, cancel, and persecute anyone who does not conform to their demands for absolute and total control. We're not conforming. That's why we're here, actually. This cruel campaign of censorship and exclusion violates everything we hold dear as Americans. They want to demolish our heritage so they can impose their new oppressive regime in its place. They want to defund and dissolve our police departments. Think of that.
That's the president Saturday night. It's a revolution in progress. And those coming from the radical left, heaping praise on it, like you heard in the first segment, commentators, sports stars, celebrities, Democrats, former Obama officials. This is heartening to see people take to the streets and destroy cities. And here's one man, one individual, one bright spot, standing against the mob. I played yesterday the clip where he said they're the party of Abraham Lincoln. He also said this. This is clip 11.
We're going to stop the radical left. We're going to build a future of safety and opportunity for Americans of every race, color, religion, and creed. Republicans are the party of liberty, equality, and justice for all. We are the party of Abraham Lincoln, and we are the party of law and order.
That's from Saturday night in Tulsa. And then I love this little clip here where he talks about those who have asked him, you know, why have you done this? Why do you put up with this? Why bother? Why fight? This is what the president had to say. Clip 12.
People have come up to me and say, how do you take it? I say, do I have a choice? Do I have a choice? We deal with a lot of bad people, but we're winning.
How do you take it? He doesn't have a choice, he says. He's dealing with a lot of bad people. He called them in one clip sick people. He's fighting against a lot of sick people, and how he maintains a positive outlook is it's astounding. He does fight back. He does show some courage. And there's a lot of people that are looking to him. And, of course, this is not going to solve the problems that are destroying our nation. In fact, it's only going to turn into civil war. But you can certainly respect that one trait. Courage. What good are the other virtues if we don't have the courage to stand up for the truth? You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.